We extend Christian greetings to each one and also welcome each one to the service here. I can say I was blessed this morning already in the thoughts that were shared, the devotional on putting on the whole armor of God, which is something we certainly need. And then the thoughts that were shared in the Sunday school lesson as well. I had to think God Himself, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they alone know what really goes on within the heart of each one of us. Jesus brought out so much of what is in the heart as what is really important. Today, for a message I thought I would share on, leave it as a question: what is the perfect law of liberty? James 1:25. Let's turn to that. James 1, verse 25 says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." I'd like to back up a little bit. We'll read that again, starting in verse 22, to get the picture here. Verse 22, James chapter 1, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So, a man that hears but doesn't do is a man in bondage. If a man hears and does, he has found the perfect law of liberty. I would get that. So a man that hears but doesn't do. Have you ever felt the pull of the flesh? It is an awful thing when bondage controls you, the pull of the flesh, when that controls you and your spirit is not able to control your actions, but the pull of the flesh. It is worse yet if in that state you control other people. I'd like now to turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, verse 4, talking here about scribes and Pharisees, Jesus talking. He says, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." When we are controlled by the pull of the flesh, and we exercise that control over other people, that is worse yet than to just have it to yourself. I'd like to drop down to verse 13. He says here, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." What a state to be in, if you just think. I'd like now to step over to John chapter 8. There is a better way. John chapter 8, let's read verse 31 through 36. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And if ye know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Free, freedom. What is the perfect law of liberty? You know, the Jewish people in Jesus' day, they longed to be free from the Romans. Today in our Sunday school class, we could tell that Jesus was more concerned about something going on in the heart than these externals that the Jewish people leaders were so concerned about. Another question that comes to my mind, why is it that being a servant to sin is bondage, but being a servant to Christ and righteousness is freedom or liberty? Why is that? Why is it that being a servant to sin is bondage, but being a servant to Christ and righteousness is freedom or liberty? Think about that. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, I'd like to read verse 16 down through the end. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The perfect law of liberty. He talks here again about being a servant to righteousness, to Jesus Christ. I'd like now to turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Read verse 19 through 21. It says here, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." That is quite a list. I'd like to turn over to Mark, our Sunday school lesson. Chapter 7, we'll read the list that Jesus spoke about, talking about that which defileth a man. Mark 7, verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Have you ever felt the pull of the flesh? There are so many ways that the flesh can be pulled. Whether it is with wrath or anger, do you have an anger problem that controls you? Do you feel anger wash over you to where you just don't care what you do? Do you have times like that? Supposing I sit on my easy chair, ask my children to bring me more food that I could go get for myself, and I get people to do this and that for me because of my laziness, the pull of the flesh. Just do what comes easy. The pull of the flesh, or maybe it's temptation, a lust of the flesh. You know, this big list of evil that is mentioned here, and I don't think they're all mentioned, but there's a lot of them. I did not put that much thought into it. When we are overcome by any one of these, we are in trouble. When we are overcome by the pull of the flesh, that is a bondage. That is a bondage. And it's an awful thing, especially when you consider your destination. Sin, after it is finished, brings forth death. Let's read about something better. I'd like to read Galatians 5 here, start reading in verse 22 and 23. It says here, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I would like to consider, and I enjoy considering this part so much better than the other part. When you consider or imagine yourself being angry, there is something that automatically goes with that. When you have an anger problem or whatever, and the thing that goes with that is a feeling of unhappiness. And it's like a attack on your emotions. Another thing is depression. When you allow those kind of emotions to control you, it's like an attack on your emotions. And it's not a good feeling. But when you experience love and you have joy and you have peace, that is so life-giving. It's just the opposite. It's refreshing. How do you feel in your emotions when you experience true joy from the heart? A true love to God and a joy that goes there and if out of being in tune with Him. And it comes from being obedient to Him and to His Word. And you just so love being there in His presence. in your spirit. It is so life-giving. It's invigorating. And especially when you consider again what God has prepared for his children. When we focus on what he has prepared for us, it makes the turmoils and the things of this life so worth it. When you are experiencing that joy, that love, that peace, there's one thing that you do good to know and to realize: you will come under attack for that. Satan will do what he can to disturb that peace. He wants to bring about hate. He'll try to get you to think about other brothers or sisters that you might think of some of their weaknesses or some of the things they might have done that kind of hit you wrong. Because he wants to get that other thing going. He wants to destroy. And if he can get you to focus on those things, all of a sudden you won't be experiencing that love and joy anymore, and you wonder what happened. Where did I lose it? And like Brother Michael shared, God always welcomes us back. Sometimes we have to reevaluate ourselves. But let's focus on the fruit of the Spirit and living in that. But I'd like to again ask the question, why is being a servant to sin bondage when being a servant to Christ and righteousness is freedom, the perfect law of liberty? For the one, you choose your path and accept your destination. For the other, you choose your destination and accept the path. The pull of the flesh is very real to those who have come to the age of accountability. Whether it's a temptation to lie, a temptation to cheat, a temptation to be involved in covetousness or envy, whether it's envious of another person's reputation, there are so many things that the flesh tries to pull us into to get our focus off of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we allow those things to control us, it is a bondage. I would like to relate a story here of something that happened in our family. And I hope they will excuse me for sharing this. But I would like to share this because it really brings out about a person being in bondage, being a servant to sin. And I don't want to be judgmental in this. But on August the 30th, just the other week, our son-in-law, Jeremy, was driving down the road. He's a truck driver. Driving down the interstate, there's a good amount of traffic going with him. Interstate was fairly crowded. And there was a man who tried to pass him. I don't know how long he was trying to pass, but the way I understand, when he came to a place where there was another exit that was coming out onto the interstate, this person traveling behind him tried to pass him on that on-ramp. And with all the traffic that was going on, Jeremy held his position, and the man was not able to make it. He had to brake and go fall in behind him again. And I don't know how much further they traveled this way, but this man all of a sudden made his way around Jeremy on the left side, pulled in right in front of him, hauled off and hit the brakes, came to a complete stop. And Jeremy had no choice but to stop behind him. This man jumped out of his car, came over, and Jeremy said he did not lock his door because he didn't know if he would break a window or what he would do. But this man jerked the door open, he came up there and he beat him up. He did his best to protect himself, but his face was pretty black and blue, bruised up quite a bit. And when this man thought he had enough, he got back in his car and left. And Jeremy, he called the law. The law came out, and he was actually taken to the hospital and checked out. And we thank God that he was okay. But the police did not. He knew what the license plate number is. He gave him that, but the police said they wouldn't do anything unless he'd be willing to press charges. And he was not willing to press charges, so nothing happened out of that. Different expressions were made. You know, that is not a good feeling, but now imagine. How much of an anger would you have to go and beat up on a perfect stranger, somebody you'd never seen before? I pity that poor man. He's in bondage. To be controlled by something like that, that's just one example of being in bondage. Jesus came to set us free. We don't have to be controlled by the pool of the flesh. And that's why Jesus came. When you experience times that you stumble and fall, that's why Jesus came. He knows we are made of dust. And the very fact that his love for you is not conditional. His love for you is unconditional. His love for you is not based on your ability to perform. So many of us have grown up in homes where we get more acceptance the better we perform. Those things should not be. But let's not think bad of our parents. They did the best they know. But we're all fallible humans. We don't mean to be that way. But this man, being so overtaken with wrath that he was willing to beat up somebody he'd never seen before, and he didn't know what his story was, but we don't know his story either. So we do good to not be too judgmental. Now I'd like to relate another story, and I hope you can have patience with me because I have related this story before, but I would like to relate this story again because it so gives an example of the perfect law of liberty. Before I do that, I would like to go to 1 John chapter 5. I came over a scripture earlier where we mentioned about that they put grievous burdens on people but would not help them with so much as their finger. I'd like to read 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Why are the commandments of God not grievous? Think about the perfect law of liberty. This story that I am wanting to relate was related by a minister. And I will relate this to the best that I remember it. But he related that he was had some young people in instruction class. And when they came to instruction class, he asked them, "Does the Holy Spirit speak to us today?" They said, one young girl raised her hand and she said, "Well, he spoke to me." And he said, "Well, what did she say? What did he say?" She said, "Well, he made me aware of my lost condition and that I needed to be born again." And he said, "Yes, yes, I know that. But in everyday life, does the Holy Spirit still speak to us?" And he said, "Tell you what." He said, "Next week when we come together for class, I'm going to ask the question again. If the Holy Spirit spoke to you this past week." So a week later, he asked the question again. He said, "Has the Holy Spirit spoken to any of you this past week?" This same young girl raised her hand. Said, "He spoke to me." Said, "What did he say?" She said, "Well, I came to my bedroom the other day that I share with my sister. When I came in there, she had made a terrible mess in the room. I was going to go tell Mom so Mom would make her clean it up. But then the Holy Spirit spoke to me." Said, "Well, what did he say?" He said, "Why don't you just go clean it up and don't say anything?" "Well, did you do that?" "Yes, I did." And he said, "Well, how did it make you feel?" His expression was that her face lit up like a 200-watt light bulb. She said it made her feel very good. That is an example of the perfect law of liberty. And the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. Not only the commandments in his book, but the commandments that we get in personal communication with him every day in our walk with him in life. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.